Merry Christmas, everyone. It's 9 o'clock hour here on Chug and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Our month-long celebration leading up to the NFL draft starting on April 29th. We are under the two-week mark till the first pick comes off the board. The Jaguars on the clock. I think we all know what they are going to do. So we use this month to celebrate, and since we do it for a month, we just turn it into a giant extravaganza, a holiday, a festival. We're going to karatu, partai, fiesta, forever. That's what we do here on Chuck and Buck in the mornings. And part of our celebration this year, it's not just about friends and family. It's about welcoming in experts into our hearts and hearths. And talking NFL draft with them. So we have a different one on every Friday. And joining us now is a guy that we check in with every year from Yahoo Sports. Eric Edholm now joins us here on Chuck and Buck in the Morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good to hear you again.
Happy Draftmas to you.
Yes. I enjoy this time of year.
Yes. Is the season treating you well to this point? Family? You got a lot of family coming in town staying with you for the Draftmas season?
No, I usually kick them out of the downstairs. It sort of becomes, I take over the whole bottom floor as my office for about 4 days. And, you know, they slide food under the door and occasionally a cup of coffee, something like that. So, yeah, I'll make it through without seeing them for a good long period there.
That's actually smarter. Don't let family interfere with your enjoyment of the draft this season. Let me ask you, as an NFL draft expert there at Yahoo, do you find that Twitter followers agree with all your picks?
Oh, 100%. Like, you just pull out the mock and they all nod and approvingly. They're supplicants, you know. It is funny, though. Like, there's a temptation of me to, like, bookmark these tweets and be like, aha, see, I was right. But then I think, well, that's just petty and wrong. So I'll let them enjoy their little jabs. And if they want to have a nice conversation, I can do that, too.
Let's go ahead and let's dive into some nuts and bolts of all of this. Man, we've talked about this number three pick in the draft so much,
yeah.
And we've done it again on our show on a couple of different segments already this morning. San Francisco's obviously moved up with something in mind. They have some player in mind. Which side of the fence are you on? That it is Mac Jones, like Peter King and Adam Schefter have suggested, like they've put their reputations at stake here. Do you think it's smokescreen? What is San Francisco thinking at three?
Yeah, it's hard not to, you know, when you hear some of the heavyweight media folks who obviously have deep connections to the Niners and around the league in general, you know, to hear them say that Mac is the guy at three. Now, it's been a little quiet on that front in the last couple weeks, obviously, and now even, you know, the betting folks are saying that Justin Fields is now the odds-on guy to go there. There's even talk that maybe the Jets aren't even 100% sold on Zach Wilson. You know, I mean, if there was a question about him, it would be probably health and size, right? I mean, he had the shoulder injury in 2019, had a hand as well. You know, maybe they're worried about him holding up. I don't know. But, what seemed like a pretty locked-in top three picks a couple weeks ago has now all of a sudden, you know, opened for scrutiny a little bit here, where maybe those reports were premature. Maybe they're ironclad and that's actually going to happen. But, you know, Vegas always knows. And I always, you know, I've been keeping an eye on how those folks break down the likelihood of each pick. And it's hard not to notice Fields all of a sudden jumping up. Maybe that's an overreaction to his second pro day. I have no idea. I'm doing my best to sort out the real stuff from the garbage.
Ed, who do you have coming off the board as the first non-quarterback in this year's draft?
Yeah, it's a great question, too, because it's kind of an unusual year. First of all, we don't get five quarterbacks potentially in the top 10 ever. You know, that's going to be a first thing if that happens. So defensively, I don't know that there's a player, you know, there's no Chase Young or Nick Bosa, that type of player up front. I don't know if we'll get an edge rusher in the top 10. So it's more likely to be either Penei Sewell, the tackle from Oregon, Jamar Chase, the wide receiver from LSU, or Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida. I mean, I think those are the three most likely to come off. But then again, there are also some people who really love Jalen Waddle and think he could be a Tyreek Hill-type weapon. It's obviously going to depend heavily on what happens at four with Atlanta. Do they move down? And then what's the next move for the Bengals at five? Do they bring, you know, they reunite Chase and Joe Burrow? Do they have a tight end in mind? Are they looking to protect him better? That really is sort of the pivotal pick, I think.
Are you a hunt and gatherer of information and you're trying to read the organizations, or are you a lock yourself downstairs and analyze tape and try to figure this stuff out on your own kind of draft expert? And if so, could that guy emerge and tell us what's going to happen at 3 and 4?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't typically get asked about how my process works. And I always say, and I tell people, you know, who read my stuff, I tell people who I talk to in the NFL, I'm not a scout. I don't try to pretend to be one. But like anybody who watches a lot of football and has been doing this professionally for a couple of decades, I think I could pick up a few things, right? And so I do lean heavily on folks in the league to give me their perspective on players. I have an assistant, Liam Blutman, who's done a great job helping me break down the tape as well. But I often rely on information, and it is it's a little bit of a dangerous game because obviously there is some phony stuff that is put out there. But I found that when I gather info from August of last year up until about, you know, early March, I would say normally that would be around the combine time, that information tends to be purer and, you know, more filtered through, various BS possibilities that could exist in April as we get closer to the draft, because by that point, teams typically don't have their course of action in mind. They may know what positions they're looking for. They may like certain players, but you know, there's less likely to be sort of bad, phony information the earlier you are in the process.
Ed, every team has, you know, holes that they're wanting to fill in the draft. We've talked to Mike Holmgren, you know, the great yeah. coach Mike Holmgren. He kind of thinks that the cornerback position is somewhere that the Seahawks need to address. Is there any cornerbacks that are high on your list that you potentially could see the Seahawks really coveting?
Pretty good year for it, and I know they've kind of stuck to that long arm profile in years past, 32-inch arms and bigger. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a hard and fast rule, but it's pretty darn close. They like the guys with length, and one who kind of sticks out in that mid to late second round range is Ifeatu Melifonwu, and that's the other benefit of being a draft expert. I've had 6 months to practice saying that name, but he's your textbook Seattle cover three type corner. I mean, he's, you know, central casting for that. Big, long, athletic guy, pretty rangy. I mean, I think he does a nice job rerouting receivers off the line, making some plays on the ball. You know, his instincts aren't perfectly tuned, and that's why, you know, as good an athletic specimen as he is, you know, he's still not really being considered as a first-round pick, I don't think. So he's one that immediately kind of comes to mind, but you know, Kelvin Joseph from Kentucky, there are some sort of character questions that abound with him. He transferred from LSU to Kentucky and kind of left both seasons in sort of unceremonious fashion. But, you know, you saw him making plays on the ball against Alabama, a great interception. He's covered Devontae Smith. And, you know, there's some real exciting upside there if you trust your evaluation and feel like he's going to be accountable in your system.
Eric Edholm is with us from Yahoo NFL Draft Expert. It's our Friday invite a NFL Draft Expert guest to your home and celebrate Draftmas together. Just talk some NFL draft. Hopefully you got the apple cider that I sent in the mail and you're sipping that.
I have it warmed up right now with some, it's really good. Mulled cider, yes.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate that. There's nothing like sending somebody a cider gift package, and then they don't even use it at the appropriate moment. But that's what we're doing. Exactly. That's just rude. All right, so who is Eric Edholm's personal favorite player in this entire draft? Who's the guy that you're going to stake your reputation on, and you're going to say, hey, and don't pick the obvious. Don't go Lawrence on me. Go with an Edholm special and fire it our way.
Yeah, I'll give you two. I'll give you one who's going to go really high. We mentioned Kyle Pitts earlier. I mean, tight ends, there's never been one drafted higher than number five all time. I think, Kellen Winslow and maybe Riley Odoms way back in the day were the only ones to break the top five. So this is the next one who could. I mean, he could go number five to Cincinnati, and we call him a tight end. That's fine, but I call him just an offensive playmaker. I mean, he can block a little bit. He's got room to grow in that area, but he's almost an impossible cover. Like, you guys watch DK Metcalf all the time do his freaky stuff, and Kyle Pitts is 6'6", 245, and does some of the same things. Like, he's sort of a wide receiver, a king-size version of one. So, you know, I just love his mismatch potential. I think he's going to be a star in time. You know, if he isn't hyper-prolific as a rookie, I'm still fine with my evaluation on him. So he's my number two overall player. You know, I'm trying to think of somebody a little bit deeper. It's hard not to get excited about Quinn Meinerz, the kid out of Wisconsin Whitewater, the D3 center who, I mean, look, the Seahawks could be a team that looks at him in the second or third round. Got his season taken away from him, played left guard, taught himself how to snap and play center during the offseason, was a late invitation down to the Senior Bowl, went down there and just, you know, kicked some tail. I mean, did a great job. And his tape in 19 wasn't mind-blowing, but to see him come down there and face top competition against the SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, whatever, he held his own and did a great job. It's just a fun story. It's hard not to root for that kid.
Are you expecting a lot of deals, few deals? What kind of movement do you think we'll see day number one? We don't really care much about day two and day three in terms of Detroit.
Right.
But day number one, are we going to get some shakeup in your estimation?
I think so. I mean, I think Atlanta at four, and I realize that never fully answered your question from before. I think their first option, their first preference would be to trade down and gain more picks, help their defense out. That's my inclination. They've certainly let it be known through back channels that the pick is available. I think teams want to see how those first three picks shake out. Nobody really knows, right? And if the right quarterback is available, that will kind of start the dominoes, I think. And a quarterback very well could go at four, just maybe not to Atlanta. So that's the first one. And then the question is, you know, the Bears, Washington football team, New England Patriots, New Orleans Saints, handful of Denver Broncos at nine. You know, that's five teams right there that theoretically could move up for a quarterback as well. So, you know, I don't know if any of them can go all the way up to four, but they may be able to jump, you know, into that range in between, you know, five and eight, let's say. So, yeah, I think the top 10 will feature some trades. And then, you know, the back end, it's really hard to predict. But I think we're going to have a really, really fun round one, even if you guys have to, you know, wait for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Are you anticipating fully to be wrong about the Seahawks pick?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I think I've nailed about three second-round picks in the last, like, 12 years, right? And I don't even do a full second-round mock when it gets to the draft. I mean, you know, the statists out there who want to torture themselves and do seven-round mocks, God bless you. I mean, I love what you do, but I'm not going to be part of it. So, because it's too hard. There's no way to do it accurately. So, we'll see, man. I think they have a – it's a pretty decent draft. I think they have a good shot to get a good player at either receiver, corner, maybe center.
See, I do a 12-round mock draft. I just feel like the way that it used to be done in the National Football League is the way to go. So, I do a full 12-round so that at least players that don't get drafted can feel the joy of being mock drafted.
Right. They went undrafted, but they were an 11th-round pick in your mock. I like it. Yep.
That's right. Now, Mr. Irrelevant in my mock draft, boy, that guy does really carry around a burden of shame.
He gets some cider to make himself feel better, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll send him a six-pack of mulled cider, no question. When will you hammer home your final mock draft? When does Eric Edholm's process end?
Yeah, I think I collapsed sometime around Tuesday night and pressed send on my final mocks. I think Wednesday, like the day before round one, is usually when it goes up. So we'll see. You know, it's funny because my penultimate mock last year was more accurate than my day of or week of mock. So I don't know if I should just repeat what I did last time and make one or two changes or not, but you'll see it about you know, 40 hours before the actual draft.
All right. Well, we'll be watching. Thank you for sharing some of your holiday time with us. We appreciate it, sir. And enjoy the NFL draft this year.
All right. Thank you very much. Talk to you guys.
All right. Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports joining us, NFL draft expert. If you want to follow Eric, get all of his information on Twitter, you can do so at Eric_Edholm. So Eric Edholm, our guest this week here on Chuck and Buck. All right. Coming up next on the program, the Mariners coming back to town, and that means 9,000 more fans in the seats tonight. I would like to discuss with Bucky a little further. Let's revisit what it was like to be in that stadium. It's Chuck and Buck, Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Gas all in one app.
Chuck Powell, Bucky Jacobson, Christopher Kidd with you here on Sports Radio 950 KJR on a Friday. Man, there's a lot of ground I kind of want to cover in this segment. It's our last full segment that we have, so I'm going to try to get as much as accomplished as I possibly can. But let me start by recapping what we just heard. We just had NFL draft expert Eric Edholm of Yahoo. And how about him going with the one Christopher Kidd circled for the Seahawks just earlier this morning? Melifonwu. How about that? About that kid?
Nah, not surprising. Yeah. Kid knows his stuff.
Yeah. I'll take it.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we better throw a kid's name in that Elite Football Minds conversation.
Oh, no. Not yet.
Elite Route Runner Minds?
Well, yeah, I'll throw him into that conversation.
Elite shirt off walker guy mind?
Yes, absolutely.
Too far.
Okay. Yeah, he's on Shirt Off magazine. He's the cover of that Shirt Off magazine.
Oh yeah.
But just leave it to an elite mind himself to determine who else has achieved that status, and you know, I don't want to name any names, but nobody else on this show has achieved that yet.
Yeah, well, I just thought I'd throw it out there. I mean, you know, just try to chip in. I'm just brainstorming here, spitballing, if we will, seeing if maybe there's someone besides you and Holmgren that are really elite. We've already determined Hughes in that class.
Close.
But the rest of the people announced, not so much.
Yeah,
and
he's
I think
close
maybe Kid DeBlongs.
Yeah, he's getting there. A few more hundred hours in the, down in the old laboratory. He'll get there. He's a hard worker, that guy.
Yeah, he is.
By the way, the other thing that I wanted to bring up, and this is the baseball player that comes out in Bucky there, Chris. I don't know if you picked up on it, but he called Eric Edholm Ed twice, and I sent Bucky a text, and I'm like, are you giving him a nickname, or do you not know that his name is Eric? And he goes, no, I'm giving him a nickname. This is the baseball player in him. I just assumed people called him Ed.
Yeah, I guess I probably should ask him that first, right? Like, hey, you mind if I call you Ed? And I guarantee you would have been like, yeah, a bunch of
people. Baseball players just give people nicknames. They can't stand it. They got to give you a nickname.
Yeah, I don't know why that is either. I didn't call him Eddie. I didn't add the Y to it, right? That's the normal one. It's just you just add, Chucky or, Kitty. Yeah. You just add a Y to it. No, I when you said it to me, I almost was like, yeah, I'm just giving him a nick. Oh, I guess that isn't normal, is it? To just call someone by part of their last name when you don't even know them, really?
Yeah, I've talked to this guy twice in my life, but second time's all I need to give him a nickname, and he'll know.
We're tight like that.
Yeah.
Old Ed.
What up, Ed? At least it's close, though. I mean, at least he didn't give him a nickname like, hey, Thunder Bunny, something weird.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have just glossed over that one, right? He didn't say anything about the Ed. I think he was on the same page. But, yeah, if I called him Thunder Bunny, hey, what's up there, sweet lips? Who do you have going in your second round of the Seahawks? Did you just call me sweet lips?
Isn't that what people call you? Well, they should.
I thought that.
Yeah,
I saw your picture on Twitter, sweet lips.
Okay, and then speaking of names, I got this. The Washington football team has announced that they pumped out this list to their fan base. What do you think of this list? And it's not exactly a short list of names for the team. They're going to go with WFT for the rest of this year, it sounds like. But then they're going to have a name locked in place by 2022 to replace Redskins. And the list is lengthy. I mean, they haven't even trimmed this thing. I don't think they even thought about it. But here's the list as reported by CBS. Aces, Ambassadors, Anchors, Archers, Armada, Aviators, Beacons, Belters, Brigade, Commanders, Defenders, Demon Cats, First City Football Club, FCFC. Oh, gosh. Griffins, Guardians, Icons, Majors, Monarchs, Pilots, Presidents, Razorbacks, Red Tails, Red Wolves, Red Hogs, Renegades, Riders, Rising, terrible, Royals,
terrible.
Rubies, Swifts, awful, is Taylor going to be on the helmet? Warriors, Washington, D.C. Football Club, or DCFC, Wayfarers, Wild Hogs, 32FC, whatever that means, and just the football team. That's a long list.
Wow. That is a long list, and there's not very many of them that I even like. There's a couple that I hate. The Swift and the Rising, you're right, terrible. Don't even just cross that out. It's horrible. The Pigskins. It's kind of, because they have that hog, whatever, from their linemen back in the day. Pigskins as football. I kind of like that. They had Wild Hogs in there. Maybe I'd go there. I don't really like Warriors, because I'm a Lewis Clark State Warrior. That's probably one that I like. I just like Warriors, but I don't really like a whole heck of a lot of them they throw out there. And that's a long list to have not very many good ones.
I like Warthogs. Nobody uses the Warthog, and you already are kind of known as the Hogs. And you can be the Washington Warthogs. I like that.
I do. That one's not bad. I'm
warted
with you.
Up.
Let's go. Yeah, warts. I don't really like the word wart.
Yeah,
it's kind of just wart.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The planters, warthogs. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
I guess you do run into some trouble there.
Put something on that.
Anyway, it doesn't sound like they're any closer to a name. I'm not even sure they've given it any thought. Since a year ago when they decided to get rid of the Redskins. But I thought that was interesting, thought I would pass that along. A couple of other things to pass along, and these came up back-to-back on my Twitter timeline. Some breaking news from Christian Capel. He does a good job following them Huskies. Something to monitor, he writes. Linebacker Zion Tupolo-Fatui, who is a preseason All-American, helped off with an apparent leg/ankle injury at this morning's practice. Trainer looked at it for a moment on sideline, then he headed to the locker room in passenger seat of the cart. So there's the danger. Let's play more practices and let's have full contact in the spring. You just kind of increase your chances of getting a star player injured. I think in the long run, it's worth it. Because those things happen infrequently, but it is the risk that you run that you might lose your preseason All-American before you even get to the fall.
Yeah, hopefully it's not that big of a deal, but anytime you see one of your studs carted off, whether it's practice or game, I suppose maybe because it's early, we still got a ways to go, that could be a good sign, but that'll be definitely something to monitor for sure.
And then right next to it, these were back-to-back tweets, and by the way, they're sandwiched around, I got four tweets on my page here. Gil Brandt wishing Coach Belichick a happy 69th birthday, and then also Jackson Bevins telling his wife again on Twitter how much he loves her. Boy, he really lays it on thick with that lady. It's like he's stalking her or something.
Yeah, you're already married to her, bud. I don't know.
I hear he follows her home sometimes.
Oh, that's creepy. That's creepy. She's hiding out in the bushes.
Yeah,
come on,
I mean, he's trimming them. He's trimming them to make the landscape look better at his house. But, yeah, he's hiding out the bushes, looking inside the windows at her.
She comes. She's hot. I like her. Hides, hunkers down while he just snips off of trimming one of the bushes. That's a little weird, Jackson.
Leave your wife alone.
Yeah.
And then finally, what I was trying to get at, Jeff Passan, he tweeted out today, the first place teams in the American League today, as of right now, are the Red Sox, the Kansas City Royals, and your Seattle Mariners, just like everyone thought it would be. So tonight, when people go to the ballpark and watch the Astros, it's not the Astros in first place. It's going to be the Mariners in first place. Completely small sample size. We understand that, but we're going to sing about it anyway. 8-5 start to this season. Kyle Lewis expected back soon, even though it won't be this weekend. But one thing I did want to discuss, now that you've removed yourself from it, I mean, we're going to tune in. We're going to watch the game tonight. And, you're going to see the 9,000 fans in the stands. I mean, we discussed it the day after you were in attendance. But now I've got to watch 2 weeks of this, seeing, sparse crowds. And it feels like it's kind of comfortable for people. And I was just wondering, do you think you could get used to it? I realize that your preference would be the energy of a packed house and a big game, Bucky. I understand that. That's going to be the preference for every baseball fan out there, or sports fan in general. But man, I'm seeing like they even like strategize about the rows so that you don't even have to walk by somebody on your way to the bathroom. Like,
right.
You'll notice that there's only two people in a row, and they're at the very end of the row. And my initial thought was, well, why don't you put somebody at the other end of the row? There's enough space there. And then I'm like, oh, I get it. Because they're going to have to – there's no outlet. There's no – for them to get to the bathroom, so they'd have to walk by them. So the idea of having season tickets, Bucky, to the Mariners, and having a row to yourself for the entire season, there's something likable about that.
Yeah, well, you're right, man. I mean, you're right. My main preference is packed house, the atmosphere, the sound, the buzz that you get when it's 30, 40,000 people in a stadium. That's what I would prefer, but that is not to take away from some of the perks that did come along opening night. I mean, the lines were less when you'd go to the bathroom, and when you're trying to polish off 17 beers, you got to go to the bathroom a few times. The whole thing... There's, the traffic down there. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of parts of it that I could get used to. I wouldn't trade it for the latter. I wouldn't trade it for the atmosphere that comes from a packed house and a meaningful game by any stretch. But yeah, there's most certainly, I mean, I'm not a very patient person when it comes to, I don't know, lack of common sense or common courtesy, yeah. And so when there's people that do things that are pet peeves of mine, and they continue to do it, it's like, okay, one time, no big deal. You weren't thinking, but you do it again and again and again. I mean, simple stuff like, I don't know, walking on the right side. I don't care whether it's an airport or on the concourse at T-Mobile. It's just like, if you're walking down the left side and you don't notice that you're bumping into everyone that passes you going the other direction, if you can't glance over 10 feet and notice, oh, it's kind of like driving. You get on the right side, Right. We're not in England. And so little things like that annoy me. And it's far lessened with the 9,000 people because it's obviously not as crowded. And then, like I told you the day after, they even have a yellow line painted down the center of the concourse. Now, for the morons that couldn't quite figure it out without the yellow line, now it even looks like you're driving. And so, and there's signs. Like, walk on this side. There's a lot about it that I liked. I want it to go back to normal, but it's in no way, shape, or form does it take away from the atmosphere to where I wouldn't want to go.
I realize that it has to return to normal, and I certainly would miss it in the playoffs. But I'm telling you, I could get really used to being a season ticket holder for the Mariners, having two rows to myself, not getting ever stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
Getting a beer, actually within the break in the inning, and not miss two, three batters because you're standing in line. Peeing without waiting for somebody to figure out their zipper. All of those things sound kind of wonderful, Bucky, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. They are wonderful. The one big downfall was there's no beer vendors, right? Because they don't want to do they. So there's no vendors walking up and down the aisles. And that's where that was actually one of the big reasons why I couldn't get to 17 beers. Because there's a wait. You still have to wait in line. It's just not as big of a line as normal. Whereas if there's a guy coming up and down the aisle and I go two at a time every time, I mean, I don't even have to get out of my chair. And then when you get out of your chair, then it makes you have to pee. And then once you break the seal, then you have to go more. Whereas I can just sit down and lock in about 8-9 beers before I even have to stand up the first time. And that was kind of diminished without having the beer guy walking up and down.
I mean, we all hope to return to normal, but if not, man, I if they're trying to find a way to make some money, you just give a family an entire section, make them pay a lot more, and you just build like a pee at your seat, for goodness sake.
Oh boy. Put a urinal in the chair in front of me because there's not somebody sitting there.
You put like
a shower curtain around me. You just got to, oh, looks like the guy in section 127's going again. You stand up, pull the shower curtain around.
You pull it back
when you're done.
You spend enough money, they'll just put like a little private little, like, you know, pull the draft handle on your own beer right down there. So you just pay for the whole thing.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, now we're talking. I get my own seat, my own row with a urinal in front of me and a keg in the seat, another seat.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Sorry, babe, I'm dipping into retirement.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you might be able to sell those tickets for a lot of money. You can go watch the whole season. You got a couple rows to yourself and your own, you know, couple draft handles.
Oh, boy, that sounds awesome.
Might be the future.
Some Lining Kugels, Shandy right in front of me, just a keg of it.
Well, yeah, you
get to driving home.
You know, you get to choose. You get to pick that when you buy your season ticket package. You get to choose, okay, well, what three beers do you want on draft for your row? And you just choose it up.
Sign me up for that one.
Yeah. All right. And when do you want your hot dogs? Because we'll have a drone drop them to you in the third and sixth innings, if you'd like.
Yeah. I'll go second, fourth, sixth, and eighth, please.
I'm telling you, there's a way to do this. All right. Up next, it's Chuck and Buck. We close out our show. We close out the week with one last thing on Sports Radio 950 K. Final segment of the week here on Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Chuck Powell, Chris Kidd, and Bucky Jacobson with you. What are you going to close us out with today? What's your one last thing, Bucky?
Well, I wanted to just say I kind of was thinking about doing it yesterday, but because it happened on Wednesday, but it was Yadier Molina when he caught his 2,000th game. I think it was on Wednesday, right? First to ever do it with one team. Just kind of a shout out, you know. I'm pretty sure he's not listening to us, like 99.9% sure. But if he was, I just want to say congrats, dude, to an amazing career. The best catcher I ever played with, without a doubt. And I played with some good catchers, but he was on in a league of his own, receiving. And it's just one of those things. It's kind of, you know, nowadays with this whole one knee catching, because they're trying to frame more pitches and how gross it looks back there to me. I mean, they frame a pitch, you know, from below the zone and they pull it like up to the guy's belt. It's like just this. I can't wait until they get robot umpires and so that whole thing goes away and we can get back to guys just receiving the ball to where it looks good. They receive the ball and then actually blocking balls because they can't hardly block balls coming off of one knee. They can't move side to side. Just the art that was Yadier Molina is Yadier Molina behind the dish is something that I kind of don't see anymore, and I'm hoping we can get back to that. And kudos to him for 18 years of catching with the Cardinals and throwing guys out and just doing it like an art form.
Yeah, I don't even understand. There are a lot of people that don't like him, and I don't get it. I just don't get it. I mean, he's just he's like a warrior and a cowboy. He's a war boy, you know, behind the his teammates absolutely love him. And by the way, that's all you need to know is how much teammates love and admire and respect him and the kind of mantle that they put him on and have throughout his entire career. And then he does on top of it, like cool things like what he did in spring training where he, you know, the rookie was like jawing at him. And he's like, he just nods his head, like, go ahead and try to steal then, and gunned him out by 15 feet. You know, things like that. I mean, he does this thing because he has such a command over that Cardinal fan base. You know, he's their favorite. And he has such a command over them, that like if a player comes back to St. Louis, like Colton Wong recently came back and made his first appearance at St. Louis since leaving the Cardinals and joining the Brewers. And he'll do that thing where he steps out in front of home plate and in essence will just stop the game.
Stop the game, yeah.
So that the fans can recognize, I'm not going to continue until you give this guy his proper respect. And then they give him a standing ovation. Wong ends up in tears, you know, and they might have done it anyway. They're pretty astute fans there in St. Louis.
True.
But Yadier Molina is just always, I just like him. I just like the kind of player that he is, and I don't understand why people don't.
I don't either. I mean, when I played with him in Double A, he was young, and I remember a lot of times he'd just call fastballs away when there'd be a guy on first base because he wanted to be able to throw him out. He took it very personally if somebody swiped a bag on him. And so I had to tell him, man, you can't just call that pitch every time. After about a third of the season, people are starting to pick up on it. They're starting to recognize that that's a pitch that you go to. But boy, oh boy, he made the adjustment quick. And I've never seen somebody have more ways of picking somebody off first. Obviously, them being a National League team, I played first base that whole year, even though my knee was jacked. And, oh, man, we picked off a ton of people. We had that still to this day. I can picture him looking out of the corner of his eye, right, so his mask wouldn't – he wouldn't give it away, looking out of the corner of his eye and reaching down to just tapping the outside of his shin guard. And I'm like, yeah, here we go. And I'd step a few feet further off base to give that guy the impression that he could get a bigger lead, and all of a sudden he'd pop it down there, or he'd do no-look picks sometimes, just do the normal thing, go down to his knees like he's going to throw it back to the pitcher and – zing it down there sideways without even looking. Impressive. Yeah. I don't know why people cannot like, how you cannot like Yadier Molina.
All right, I'm going to close my one last thing. There's this thing going on around on Twitter, and it's you know, one of those, like, I need some attention, so somebody please answer my sports question kind of thing. And the question is, who's one person in sports history that you wish would have remained injury-free? You know, this is sports talk radio. I mean, this entire industry is built on opinions, strong opinions, and supporting your opinions, hopefully in some educational or intelligent kind of fashion. And so, there, you know, everybody should have their opinions. It's kind of like elevated barroom talk, in my estimation, is what sports talk radio should be. But there's occasionally a question that comes along where there is only one answer. Opinions do not matter. And the answer to this question is Bo Jackson. There is no other answer to this question. So, and if you say, well, yes, it's your opinion. Well, my opinion is I wanted to see this particular Seahawk be healthy the rest of his career. Well, that's biased. And bias typically is wrong. So you're wrong if your answer is not Bo Jackson. It's the only answer to this question. Because it wasn't one sport. It was two sports that we got deprived of seeing him do something that we've never seen anyone try to do before.
Yeah, you know. I saw that same thing out there, and I saw some other people put some stuff. I saw one guy put King Griffey Jr. Yeah, it would have been nice to see what King Griffey Jr. could have done had he not had some of the injuries, the milestones that he could have achieved. But it wasn't cut short, necessarily. It was tampered with. It was shortened within the middle of it, but nothing like Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson, two sports and a stud at both of them, and all of a sudden just comes to a screeching halt. I think that's a no-brainer, 100% number one answer, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, there's some talk that there's some technology that is available to us, but we're not ready to handle it as a society yet, so they don't allow us access to it. This, to me, was God like, oh, wait a minute. Human race wasn't ready for that yet. I'm going to have to take him down. So sorry about it, Bo. This isn't anything personal, but we can't expose people to what humans are going to be like 100 years from now. You're way too evolved. I'm going to go ahead and take that hip from you right now. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the sunshine. We'll be back. I'll be back on Monday. Bucky will be back on Tuesday. You guys all have a great weekend out there. Coming up next, Slick Hawk and Company, Sports Radio 950 KJR.